Thank God. Lord, we pray this morning that you would give us a word in season. We need to hear from you, Lord. There are so many voices in the world. We need to hear you. We need to focus on you. We need to muffle some of those other voices and hear your spirit. Lord, give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying even right now. And give us willing hearts to respond in obedience and trust. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 2. Before I read a couple of verses here, let me just give you an account. I was in the office of a Christian businessman recently, and we were just having a little, talking. I have a little fellowship there because the nature of his business, kind of like one-on-one in the office there. And we were talking about just the how hard it can be sometimes to get accurate information, to get the truth, it's like, and I know we have many different media sources and so forth, but sometimes people can just say what they want us to hear, and they want to promote a certain angle, and I understand. We were just talking about that, but we talked about how that can fuel the divisiveness. It's like we're so divisive in our culture. It's like we can find, whatever we can find to divide us, we do. As we were sharing, he told me about a psychiatrist who had been in his office recently. And he said, the psychiatrist told him, when people feel, and here are the two words, hopeless and helpless, they respond in unhealthy ways. Hopeless and helpless. And that just kind of stuck with me. Because we realize as Christians, that should not, we don't have to feel hopeless and helpless. But just think of, even over the last couple of weeks in the news, I don't believe that someone who really believes they have hope and help will take a gun and go to their school and kill their fellow students. I don't think someone who really believes they have hope and help will get behind the steering wheel of their vehicle and just try to mow people down during a Christmas parade. Grandmothers and little children. And when I was thinking about hope and help, we tend to associate hope with light. In this season of the year, people talking about Christmas, the season of perpetual hope and so forth, and the light. And you probably know, you've heard this saying, I'm sure, there's light at the... See, I figured you heard it. There's light at the end of the tunnel. It's like, even if it's not something physical, if we're going through something, we feel like, I think I'm going to make it after all. We'll say something like, there's light at the end of the tunnel. But aren't we constantly reminded of the darkness of sin and its effects in our world? And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, could you imagine being trapped, like say in a coal mine where there was a collapse? And it would be like a darkness that you could feel. Wouldn't we look for just any sign of light to give us hope that help was on the way? And I believe that describes our generation in a sense. There's a desperation to find just a ray of light, so to speak, to know that we do have hope and that help is either here or on the way. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible says this. It describes kind of like our condition and state before we come to the Lord. It says in Ephesians 2:12, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. A covenant is the agreement that God makes with humanity. And if we don't know Christ, we're strangers. We're separated from those covenants of great promise. So he goes on and he says, notice, having no hope and without God in this world. Outside of Christ, we are without hope of forgiveness of sins, and we are without hope of eternal life. And so many people, I believe, they just feel like they're hopeless today. But when we were trapped in our sin and darkness, Jesus, the light of the world, came to our rescue. Thank God. That's why he says in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And verse 19, Ephesians 2:19, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you're fellow citizens with the saints, and you are members of the household or the family of God. So this morning, I believe it's the word of God to us, to just say, we have hope and help. We have hope and help. And that's the message this morning. We have hope. Again, I was thinking about being in that Christian businessman's office that day. I went out into the parking lot, just even somewhat thinking about it. People feeling hopeless and helpless. But brothers and sisters, I'll even say this. If you're not a Christian today, hope and help are available. And please, please don't make a decision, even a self-destructive decision, that would be based on feelings or emotion of the moment. There is a much larger picture. And I know even personally, we're talking about the condition of our world and culture. Many of us could say, I've been in a dark season in my life. I've been in a time, maybe some even right now are saying, man, it feels like I'm trapped in just a dark situation. I'm in a dark place. And if we're in that condition, we want to see some kind of light, if you know how I'm saying that. We want to see just any kind of indication that there's hope and that we have help available to us. So it's both for a personal level and then on a larger, maybe just as the level of just people in the world, that we do have hope and help. I want to share three reasons basically to give us, because Christian hope is not wishful thinking. Sometimes, you know, if you would ask, hey, are you going to go to heaven when you die? Well, I hope so. You don't have to hope. That's not Christian hope. Biblical hope is the assurance. It's a confident expectation of something good that is based on truth. So this morning, and I'll tell you the three reasons here. We'll go through each one. You don't have to be a speed writer. But we have hope and help in Christ, in his word, and with his people. We have hope and help available to us in Christ, in his word, and with his people. And we'll put a few verses on the screen there if you want to write them down. If you just stay in Ephesians, we'll get back there in just a moment. But first of all, we have hope and help in Christ. Would you say that with me? We have hope and help in Christ. And the Bible says this in Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope, he's a God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Notice, he's a God of hope, but then when we believe, he says that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the hope, he's a God of hope. I believe anytime we bring God into a situation, we bring hope into a situation. Thank God for hope. It would be terrible if we really were convinced, if we believed that we were in a hopeless situation, that would be a terrible way to exist, wouldn't it? So we do have hope and help. So he says, the God of all hope, may he fill you with joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So here's the question. Are you in Christ? That's the key. In fact, I would ask it this way. Has God's Spirit convicted you of unbelief and drawing you to the truth that Jesus is Lord? Because it's a supernatural work of God's Spirit. It's not just, oh yeah, I believe there's a God. That doesn't transform our heart. We need a heart change. But when God's Spirit convicts us, see, the sin has to be dealt with. As people, we may like to, you know, kind of sweep it under the rug or whatever. God says, no, that's not allowed. I've already dealt with it with my son on the cross, but you have to be willing to acknowledge. And so, the unbelief that's in my heart, the sin, I need to be forgiven. And the only one who can forgive me is Jesus, who died to pay for my sins and conquered death. And brothers and sisters, if we are in Christ, if we have come to that place, whether we're 5 or 105, it doesn't matter. God's Spirit drew us to Jesus. Then we have a living hope today. We have a living hope because Jesus conquered. He conquered Satan. He conquered sin. And he conquered death. And we get to live forever. And Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, and he called him a name. He called him, the King James says, the comforter, but other translations say the helper. It literally means one to come alongside to help. So when we come to that place of believing with our heart in Jesus as Lord, not only does he forgive us of our sin and make us righteous, his Holy Spirit indwells us, and we have someone to help us do God's will. That's what he helps us do. So we do have, we have hope. And we have help because the helper is living on the inside of us, leading us and guiding us. So we do have a living hope. He helps us to do God's will. And I'll even, let me read you these verses from Romans chapter 5. If you want to just write them down, verses 3 through 5, it's in the New Living Translation, because our perception is our reality. See, if we believe something to be true, it doesn't matter whether it's true or not. If we believe it to be true, that's how we'll live. So we want to believe what is true. And the Holy Spirit, he's a Spirit of truth. He'll help us to have a true perspective. Notice what the Bible says here in Romans chapter 5, verse 3. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials. What? For we know that they help us develop endurance. Verse 4, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Verse 5, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. We have hope and we have help in Christ. Sometimes we just need that. We need that true perspective when we're going through those trials and tribulations, don't we? Because isn't it easy when we're in that trying moment and we're in the trial and we're in the battle and we're in the valley and we're in the darkness, it's so easy to just focus on the problem of the moment. And if we could keep a true perspective, the Holy Spirit would help us to say, it's not the end. This is not going to be the end of you. You're going to come through, and you're going to come through stronger because you're getting closer to me, and you're relying more on me, and you're going to have more grace, and there's going to be growth in Christ. So there is a that then we can rejoice that, Lord, I thank you. This is an opportunity to grow. It's an opportunity to grow closer to you, and it's an opportunity to grow more like you. I really try to remind myself when I go through those times, because it helps. Again, it's like the perspective. If I know there's light at the end of the tunnel, I'll keep moving. I'll keep going forward. But if I feel like this is it, there's no hope, no help, then you're tempted to quit. God doesn't want us to quit. He didn't quit. He went all the way to the cross and beyond. And now the Spirit of the one who is the perseverer, the helper, is living on the inside of us. And if you're not a Christian, the moment you believe, and God's Spirit draws you, his Spirit will indwell you, and he will give you hope to carry on, and he will be the help you need to live in a way that honors him. I thank God that we have hope and help right now in this life, and I thank God that we have hope of a sin-free future to come. And when I say sin-free, that means all the curse of everything that followed sin will be gone. There will be no more sickness, no more death, no more crying, murder, stealing, all of the injustice and everything. All of that will be behind forever. We have a bright hope in Christ. Thank God. So we have hope and help in Christ, in his word, and with one another. Number two, we have hope and help in his word. In fact, I said earlier, Jesus is light of the world. What does the Bible say about itself? Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light. That's the light. See, Jesus is light, but the word is light. And God's word will guide us in wisdom and truth. Don't we need wisdom and truth to guide our steps and to follow the path that the Lord has for us? And the Bible says this in Romans 15, verse 4, if you want to write it down. I'll read from the Passion Translation, Romans 15, 4. The Bible says, whatever was written beforehand is meant to instruct us in how to live. The scriptures impart to us encouragement and inspiration so that we can live in hope and endure all things. Notice that. The scriptures impart to us encouragement and inspiration so that we can live in hope. That's how God wants us to live. The Word of God gives us hope. He wants us to live in hope so that we endure all things. If hope is gone, we won't endure. To live in hope so that we can endure all things. The inspired Word of God gives us hope. The Bible says this hope is an anchor for our souls. We need that anchor in the storms and troubles of life. You know, in Acts chapter 27, it was 276 people on that ship, passengers and crew, and Paul was on it. And Luke, one of the authors of the New Testament, they were on that ship. And a heavy storm came upon them. The Lord had given Paul a word, and he warned the captain, don't sail. I believe there's going to be much loss. People are going to be killed on this trip. He wouldn't listen because the weather looked like it was nice. He said, we better go while the weather's good. So they set off, and sure enough, they went right in headlong into a storm. And it was so bad pounding on them, it was dark. And they eventually just had to start throwing their cargo overboard because eventually your life outweighs your stuff. And the Bible says, when they had gone many days without seeing the light of the sun or the stars, they gave up all hope that they would be saved. No light, no hope. Thankfully, God intervened. And all 276 made it through. But when we're in those storms, do you see what I'm saying? Why we need the perseverance. We need the inspired Word of God giving us, hey, don't quit. This isn't over. This isn't over. There is a bigger picture. And I'm going to be with you every moment and every step of the way. Just trust me. Just trust me. We have hope and we have help. I wanted to share a testimony with you from a lady. One of the devotions I read, it's called The Upper Room. This was actually written back in May. She's from South Africa. Her name is Amanda Thompson. And she writes about a time when she felt hopeless. And please, this is what I mean by the kind of like a dark place in our world. She said, I was very poor. My son had committed suicide. And less than a year later, my grandson died of cancer. She said, at first I was angry. I was angry at God because he allowed it to happen. I was angry at my son. I was angry at the medical profession because they didn't help him. And she said, slowly and surely, I came to realize that bad things happen to good people and that God never promised us a life without pain and hardship. But what he did promise was love enough to wipe away our tears and to hold on to us when we do not have the courage to go on. In spite of bad circumstances, she says, I've learned in spite of the pain, God is a good God who understands our pain and will never leave us or forsake us, even when it feels otherwise. Thank God. And this is how she wraps it up. All we need to do is trust God's promises, cry out to our loving Father, and persevere. If we know that we have hope and help, we can persevere. We need hope and help to persevere. To be able to make it through, to carry on when we don't feel like it, when our emotions, sometimes, in fact, I was just telling someone recently, going through a hard time, I just said, one day at a time, by God's grace. One day at a time. Didn't Jesus say, don't worry about tomorrow? Now, it's wise to plan for tomorrow, but don't worry about tomorrow. One of Kim's customers, an older lady, shared with us one day. I was happening to be in the shop where she was cutting hair. And, you know, we were talking about some news. And she said, don't borrow trouble. That's good advice. Don't borrow trouble. So don't, you know, hey, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Let's just trust God for grace right now. Thank God that we have this present moment. I love somebody. I give him the credit. I don't know who said it. Said, yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, today is a gift, That's why it's called a present. So one day at a time, maybe we don't know where to turn. Maybe we're in a situation that hurts so bad and emotions seem like they're overwhelming. But even then, it's important what we say. We have hope and help. And I believe when we confess God's word, we're not just wishful thinking, making a positive confession. When we say that, we are confessing the living, powerful word of God. And there's something about speaking the word of God that builds our faith. We do have hope and we have help in Christ, in his word, and with one another. If you're there in Ephesians, would you look at Ephesians chapter 4? We have hope and help in Christ, in his word, and with his people. The Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 4. Ephesians 4, 4 says that there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One body, one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. Now, can someone who is not a Christian maybe give us hope and be a practical help in many different ways? Sure. But there is a uniqueness that we have as Christians because we share a common hope in Christ and in his word that's based on his truth. And there's something a fellow Christian can give me that kind of hope because we have the same spirit on the inside of us. Thank God for every non-Christian who wants to be a help to us in any way. But there's something that is unique that we share as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we share a common hope and we are indwelt by the same Holy Spirit of God. So there's something that is relatable to us. You know, speaking about light, Jesus is the light. The word is light, but what did Jesus say to his followers there in the Sermon on the Mount? He said, you are the light of the world. And so we too are to be light. When I was sharing with this fellow Christian that day in his office, I know it can be discouraging. You know, it's like we almost want to say, and there's nothing wrong with this, it's a scriptural prayer to say, even so come, Lord Jesus, come on, come on. And thank God, we want to see his kingdom come. We want to see his reign. We want to see the world run the way it should be as God ordained. But until that moment, I really believe he's saying to us, okay, let my kingdom come through you. You be the light in this dark world. You live in hope and avail yourself of my help and then help others to know that hope and help are available to them too. So we live, yes, in a dark world, but we have hope. And we have help, and we can help in practical and godly ways. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians. Let me read it to you, and then we'll close in Ephesians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. For we do not want you to be ignorant or unaware, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Are you seeing these are Christians? We don't have to put on a show and act like we got it all together when we're going through a difficult time, but we don't have to drown in gloom and doom either. So he says, man, verse 9, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, but what came out of it, remember, we have a proper perspective. He says that we should not trust in ourselves, but trust in God who raises the dead, who not only delivered us from so great a death, and he does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You see what he's thanking God, he's trusting. He helped us in the past, he's helping me right now, and he's gonna help us in the future. The same God who began the good work in you will complete it until the day we meet him face to face. Verse 11, you also, would you turn to someone next to you and just tell them, you also? You also, streaming, you also. He says, helping together how? Helping together in prayer. See, our prayers make a difference. That's godly practical help that believers can give to one another. Godly practical help. Helping together in prayer for us that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. Practical help. In Christ, we are light. Let me read this last verse, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. We have hope and help. Would you say that with me? We have hope and help. We have hope and help in Christ, in His Word, and then with one another. The light in that day were not the fluorescent LED or anything like that. It was basically like a little lamp, like a little lantern. And just like in the natural, we shine brighter together. Thank God that as individuals, we have hope and help in our personal walk with the Lord. But God called us, remember what He said, there's one body. And as believers, the world needs us to shine brightly and to shine brightly together and not allow ourselves to be divided over things that are not as important as the importance of God's kingdom coming and Jesus being glorified and people being drawn to Him. That's really, we don't want to get sidetracked and divided over things that may be important, but they're not of greater importance than God's kingdom. We have a greater cause. And God wants everyone to know that hope and help are available in Christ, in His Word, and with His people. Ephesians 5:8 says this. Ephesians 5:8. For you once were darkness. Notice that. Not just that you were in darkness. It was what state we were in. For once you were darkness, but now. Would you say now? Yeah. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk or live as children of light. God calls us to live as His light in this dark world in which we live. I said earlier, we're reminded of the darkness all around us. Let it also be a reminder that we need to shine the light of Jesus in this dark world. People need to know that they can have hope, that there is help available, and we can be the voice of the Lord. Joyce Meyer said this, I like this statement. She said, we'll never rise above what we believe. We'll never rise above what we believe. Just in your own heart now, okay? You don't have to say anything out loud. But I would like to ask you, please think about this. What do you believe right now about God? What do you believe right now about yourself? What do you believe at this very moment about your present situation? What do you believe about your future? Let's believe God's word. Let's believe God's word. Let's find out what God says about Himself, what He says about us, what He says about our present moment, what He says about our past, what He says about our future. Will you believe God's word? And then just again, real practical, just think about this. How will you avail yourself? Hope and help are available, but how will you avail yourself of the hope and the help that are available to you in Christ, in His word, and with His people? Please think about that. How will you avail yourself? Because there are going to be moments, and you know it, because the darkness is going to increase before Jesus returns, but so will His grace. Light is greater than darkness. Darkness will never overpower the light of God. Jesus is building His church, and His kingdom will reign. And one day His glory will fill this land, fill this earth like the waters fill the seas. Thank God. We do have hope and we have help. But we must avail ourselves of these resources of in Christ, relying on Him, seeking Him, staying close to Him every day, opening our heart and saying, Lord, speak to me through Your word, and realizing we're not in this thing alone, that we are together. Thank God. I hope this will be an encouragement to someone. I pray, may the Holy Spirit remind each of us in those moments when it does seem dark and we're trapped and it seems like maybe there's no way out. We can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. May the light Himself within us remind us that we have hope and we have help. Thank God. Can we stand together as we close in prayer?